Okay, we're good to go. Boom shakalaka. Boom goes the dynamite.
I am paying attention.
And I am September 3rd, 2018. This is Fancy Ramen. It is Neil.
And Cookie.
So Scott's gone. He's in a tennis tournament. He's in Wimbledon right now. Our best wishes. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. You had a better joke?
Yeah, I was going to say he is my prince of tennis.
Did you know they continued the manga by making Prince of Tennis Again, I think is the title of it.
Nice. So he got even better at tennis? Or was there a new prince of tennis?
It's the original character, but so how I choose to take this is that he was not a prince for a while, so he must have become the king of tennis, possibly by getting married. Or his father, the king of tennis, passing away. And then by becoming a prince again, something must have happened, like his father must have come back to life. Or
it's part two of the video game and somehow he lost all his power-ups.
Yeah, exactly.
To go back to the adventure.
So we're going to have to ask Scott if he's able to do a lob hit with so much topspin that the ball just hits the ground and stays there.
Better yet, I want to see the drop shot with so much backspin that it just comes back to the other side of the court.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, God, fuck Prince of Tennis. It's so bad.
That anime got me into... Sports animes get me into sports, okay?
So have you ever seen Slam Dunk? It's like the... maybe one of the best known basketball animes, at least from like the 90s and so forth.
Ironically, I've never seen Slam Dunk. I did read Slam Dunk, though.
Oh, okay. So that's just as good. That's better, in fact, because they cut the anime pretty short in the series.
Go figure. The one time you mentioned an anime, and I didn't actually see the anime, but I read the manga.
I know. It's surprising. So it's curious, because I don't know if we've gone over this before, but did you know that like Sakuragi, the main character, is kind of a delinquent in Slam Dunk? A lot of people see him as like Rodman, and because their team is basically the Bulls for the most part. But this anime came out well before the Rodman joined the Bulls. So really, Slam Dunk like foresaw Dennis Rodman joining the Bulls and getting three titles.
Nice.
Revolutionary.
See, Dennis Rodman was reading Slam Dunk and was like, oh shit, I could do this.
Yeah, exactly.
Closed the book, started lifting some weights, shooting a basketball.
Read about the Sakuragi character, and he's like, what? This guy rebounds really well? Is this about me? Should I be on the Bulls? So we're talking about anime. I just had one suggestion to make for you.
What's that?
You haven't already, you should start watching Chio-chan's Road to School or something like that. It is on Crunchyroll, and it's about a high school, middle school, I don't know, doesn't matter, a high school girl, her trip to school every day, and the fascinating things that may happen.
List.
Yeah, it's really good, actually. It's very good. I give that two thumbs up.
Ooh, and better yet, 6 episodes are on Funimation. So I can figure out if I want to watch it in English or in Japanese.
Is Funimation always English?
Yeah, actually. Like 9 times out of 10, it's in English, which kind of really pissed me off because since it's in English, they don't do subtitles, and I was watching Ping Pong. Like I watched part of it in Japanese when they did the subtitles for the Chinese character because, you know, he's speaking a different language. In the English version, he's still speaking Chinese, but they don't have subtitles for them.
Ping Pong. So Ping Pong, the animation, like the movie or
the series? You know, that one that you always talked about. Yeah, Ping Pong, the animation.
Wait, the one I always talk about is Ping Pong Club, the really gross one.
Oh, no, I'm talking Ping Pong, the animation. What's Ping Pong Club? I thought this was what you were talking about.
No, but if it's what I think it is, the one you're referring to, the main character has a bull haircut.
Yeah, and his name is Smile.
Yes. Okay. That's really good. There's also a live action movie that they, I thought, did a fantastic job on. Obviously, because it's live action and 1.5 or 2 hours long, they obviously have shortened some storylines and things, condensed it down for film. Ping Pong Club is way more ridiculous.
Super different, it looks like, just based off the image of this manga.
With the American foreign exchange student that smells so bad that he beats opponents by just lifting his arms and them being exposed to his body odor. Yes. Or the...
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like the least offensive thing that happens in that. So if that gives you any indication on what you could be enjoying at this moment right now, yeah.
Well, and now I know.
Anime. But what have you been up to this weekend, Cookie?
So as you know, it is Labor Day weekend. So there was a whole bunch of stuff happening. So Lizzie's little sister's in town, was in town with some of her friends. They drove up from Chicago. My older brother, his daughter and son, also in town. They drove up from Iowa, so it was a lot of splitting time between family, not spending time with family, and spending time with family.
I can't imagine having a celestial burning ball of light in a car with you for that long.
Wait, what?
You said he was driving with his son.
Oh, touche, yes. He quite literally took our star and sat it in the car. Didn't his you notice son. How ridiculously bright it's been?
Yeah, I mean, I knew something was weird, but now it makes sense that the sun, which is normally in Iowa, was in Nebraska for a period of time.
that was good. I broke down and started renting fucking Adobe Illustrator. I got commissioned to do a couple of skateboards, and I didn't feel like futzing around with Photoshop to do the skateboards, and figured, oh yeah, you know what? I'm actually getting paid for these 3 skateboards. I can do them all in Illustrator, pay a couple of bucks, have Illustrator for about a month, maybe 2, and still come out on top, you know?
What makes Illustrator different from Photoshop?
So one of the ideas that I wanted to do was a mandala. And Illustrator's got this nifty little like rotate copy feature that you can set different kinds of effects to layers. So that way, as soon as you draw something in a layer, it would automatically rotate it 11 times, copy and rotate it 11 times to make like a really fast, quick mandala. And the reason I like Illustrator over Photoshop is because Photoshop uses vector images. Wait, or do they not use vector images? No, they don't use vector images. So all of my, all of the stencils that get cut out always have like the tiny little jagged lines if you're like looking super close, because it's always going to be cutting around a pixel. Whereas Illustrator uses vector lines. So no matter how like small it gets, it's always going to be a smooth line. So okay. So like the mandala thing came out just like a little bit smoother. So, and it went from I've got to draw a thing, copy, rotate it, and paste it very carefully 15 times to I could just draw a thing. It would automatically do it. So it took what could have been several hour project down to 20 minutes.
I get you. So like otherwise what you would have to do, aside from having like the massive workflow that would be involved with Photoshop, you also wouldn't have to like make your image, or what would it be, your canvas size ginormous to avoid pixel artifacts. Because that's what I've had to do in the past with Photoshop until I realized that. That's what I would do when I cared about image quality enough.
So that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, that does make sense. Because Photoshop at the end of the day is technically still a photo editing app as opposed to an artistic, like, illustration tool.
Yes, very much so. And I got swept up in all the hype of, you know, mystery boxes.
Yes.
So
I
PC
have
Mag,
heard of mystery boxes.
PC Mag had some mystery boxes on sale.
Okay.
So I bought a $70 mystery box.
Do you want $70, huh?
Mm-hmm. Do you want to see what I got?
Yeah, I'm curious.
So it came with a Zuli smart plug. That is spelled Z-U-L-I. And it's just one smart plug. You can get these on Amazon for $5.
What is a Zuli? Wait, that's all that there was in it?
Oh, no, it's just one of the things that was in it. It roughly came out to about $70, depending on how much this one thing that I can't actually appraise cost. But $5 smart plug.
What is a smart plug?
So basically, you plug it into the wall. It plugs into an adapter, so it's quite literally just like a plug. You plug into the wall, you plug it into an adapter, and then it can talk to like your Alexa and stuff to turn off. You can name it, and then it controls whatever's plugged into it.
Okay, so you can be like, Alexa, turn on the entry light.
Yeah, except for the entry light would then have to make sure that it's a thing that actually plugs into the wall. But yeah. Basically.
Okay, I get you.
So instead of going for the $5 smart light bulbs that I have in several places in the house, it is a plug. So now I can be like, Alexa, turn on, oh gosh, some random speaker that's not a smart speaker.
Alexa, turn off the PlayStation 4 so it loses all of its data.
You know what? The one listener that we have, we're going to lose them over Alexa doing some shit.
Isn't Alexa smart enough to determine what your phone or like what your voice is? Because I've tried to get Tiffany's Google phone to like listen to my commands.
So
and it will
Alexa
not.
Is smart enough, but at the same time, you've got to set Alexa up to know what your voice sounds like to access your thing. But for like smart devices, Alexa tends to just go off of whoever's saying Alexa. So usually whenever you're watching YouTube videos to teach you about more things of Alexa, they always start off by saying, mute your blank device because we're going to be saying the wake up command a lot.
Okay.
And then they start going into Alexa, 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 Alexa. Alexa, launch Skyrim. Okay, I'm done. Just in case. And then there is the Beats Tours. They are wired Beats headphones that go in ear, but have like a little nub. So that way they don't fall out of your ear. They are roughly about $50 to $60. So that's $55 to $65 worth of content. And then there is a Verizon leather pouch-ish kind of thing. I don't really know. It just opens up. It looks like it's just big enough for maybe an iPad.
Okay.
I was really hoping for, like, since it was PC Mag, like, maybe they would just throw, like, I was hoping to get, like, one really big box, and it would just be, like, a case or something for a computer.
Or, like, some sort of random peripheral or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe some cables.
Yeah. But, you know, headphones I won't use, and a smart plug that I will actually use, and a pouch that I will not use. That cannot be, like, how much is this thing actually worth on Amazon? Because it just says Verizon on it. And in the thing, there is a little slip of paper that says this is a leather pouch.
Mm.
Like, cool.
So I think you may have missed the appeal to mystery boxes is usually people film themselves opening the mystery box, acting all like concerned about what could be inside it, and then uploading it to YouTube to get enough ad revenue to buy another mystery box. and you rinse and repeat until you hopefully have a following big enough for
an actual item that you'll use
for more mystery boxes, bigger mystery boxes off of the black market or gray market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens. Either way, that was the mistake I made, and now I'm trying to convince myself to maybe make a second mistake, but we'll talk about that in news.
Okay. Or whatever segments at the end of the podcast.
Pretty fucking much. So what you been up to this week? It's a long weekend for everybody but you.
But me? I did work a little bit on Saturday, I guess, so that's true. I don't really have too much of things to know aside from games. I think I might be done with Octopath Traveler, although I am like sure that Scott will probably talk about that game again the next time he's on, so I will save any talk of that until then. I just wanted to say, like, I'm 80 hours into that game, and I have no idea how I've put that much time into it. And it also doesn't feel like I've put that much time in. So that's interesting to me. Like, when I put 110, 20 hours into Persona 5, it felt like I put that much time into that game. But I maybe made my own mistake because I started playing Final Fantasy 15 again.
Oh, man. So, speaking of that, I think that's going to be the next game that I re-put on my PlayStation 4.
Well, so, I made the quote-unquote mistake, potential mistake, of buying it during one of the Steam sales for PC. And it comes with all of the DLC. I don't know if the DLC was something you had to pay for, like the Gladius episode, the Prompto episode, and...
The Royal Edition or whatever it's called. Yeah, I think you had to buy all that stuff.
Okay, so that came included with the Windows Edition, so that was nice. And the biggest thing for me is that probably because it's running off of a hard drive, or specifically a solid-state drive, the load times are like basically gone. Like, I think the longest load time I've had so far is like 10 seconds, if that.
Oh, God. Wait, this was that game that had like ridiculous load times when it came out, right?
It was like almost as bad as Bloodborne. It's pretty bad on PlayStation. Like, it looks awesome. It looks great, et cetera, on PlayStation. But and I'm assuming Xbox would also have a similar issue with load times, and like the graphics probably look fine. They do a good job of optimizing things, and like you can really notice where they saved processing power. Like, usually lips don't move when you're running around and there's small banter, but like honestly, you're never zoomed in on character models, and that doesn't bother me much. It doesn't bother me to the same degree that Final Fantasy X's models literally had the low res and high res version, which I've probably talked about on numerous occasions. It's good. It's a good game. It, like, especially with the loading issue out of the way, it's made it much easier for me to just jump on and hang out with the boys, so to speak, go drive the car around a bit. And it's made the game way more approachable. Whereas, like, when you had like the 10-minute load times on PlayStation 4, it really felt like you had to dedicate yourself to that specific, to like that sitting and that play for that duration of time.
Oh my God, since you reminded me about the load times.
Yeah, it kind of turns you off from the idea. Yeah. Like, at least it did for me, and like partly why I bought it for PC was because I wanted to see, first and foremost, now that I have two fucking PCs that have like good cards in them, a 980 Ti and a 1070 Ti. I wanted to see exactly like how good, like how well that did with like higher end graphics games. And then it occurred to me
that it's trash because, you know, the 270 and the 280 and the 280 Ti.
Yeah, the RTX cards are now out. So now are coming out. So now I have shit again.
Yup.
No, but honestly, it's been... I've had a few, like, dips or, like, loading time issues. I think I had two instances where, like, I could tell just literally the game had to, like, load up the conversation that was about to happen, which in the grand scheme of things isn't that big of a deal, kind of took me out of the moment because the game otherwise runs so fucking well, like to the point where since I was too lazy to hook up a controller, I've been using a mouse to move in Final Fantasy 15, and the mouse controls the camera. And so I was just doing like constant 360s, or well, not just 360, but rather just spinning my character around constantly, seeing if I could cause like screen tearing or slow down or like frame rate drops. And I'm only working on a 60 frame or a 60 hertz monitor, so I can't go into, I purposely have it capped at that just to save processing. But I really didn't have any problems. It was only when certain dialogue options were coming in. But yeah, it like I really don't have anything insightful to say at this point, since I've really only gotten as far as I was before. But just having a more stable platform to play that game on makes a huge difference in how easy it is for me to, jump into the game, do some random shit, and get out of it. And I think that Final Fantasy 15 in particular does a better job with that, because that game really doesn't feel like a grand adventure in the same way that other games in the series have. It's more about like, go in, man, I gotta go find some eggs so I can make some more like of this dish at the next camp. Oh, I can't wait to see what pictures we have at the end of the day. That sort of thing.
Yeah, actually. It's like, oh yeah, remember that guy that we saw on the side of the road? We got a kit to fix his car now, so let's go back to him real fast.
It's the least Final Fantasy game I think I've played in the series.
Oh my god. Thinking about it, it's more like a Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Except you're with your bros.
Yeah, it's a Zelda Breath of the Wild road trip with your bros instead of hearing voices in your head.
Man, really, they could have just done like this basically just feels like a road trip simulator. Like, granted, there are like serious things happening and occasionally you have to fuck up some shit. But that's kind of like if you were on a road trip and got into a bar brawl. It's really not that different. You might be the prince of a country and like basically the last person left to stand against the evil empire, but at the same time, you're stopping at diners, you're getting pictures. I do love how like the pictures always illustrate scenes that never happen, like of people posing in front of like the head hammer repair shop and shit that you never do. But like it's so fun going through and seeing these dumbass poses in front of signs and stuff.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, I remember seeing this area. I don't remember setting up for this picture.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. It's been fun though. I'm gonna try and beat that game over like the course of the next few months. Or
I can dig it.
Or road trip more.
Well, but I can honestly tell you, I beat a game.
Oh, yes, do tell.
So we did talk about this a few months ago. You did remind me that Scott was talking about it, the game Gunpoint. Real interesting, the side is scrolling pixel art. You are a spy being hired to infiltrate certain organizations to either A, cover up things that are going on, or B, to set people up for things that are going to take place in the future. It is free right now on Twitch Prime, which is the only reason I downloaded it and started playing it last night, and was like, huh, I like this gameplay. It's a very very fast, you can get in, get out, just one more level, mom, I will stop playing, just one more level. And next thing I know, it was like 12:30-ish. Lizzie was just getting home and I was like, well, I think I'm really close to the end. Super huge plot twist just happened. Person's telling me, hey, here is the big thing that you've been fighting for this entire time. I kind of want to play it through a few more times and make different decisions, because I think it might have branching narratives. So the story basically kind of starts off with you jump out of your third story window. And
because you're trying on your like power trousers or whatever the fuck they call them.
Eggs, yeah. And then they're like, oh, I just saw you jump out of your third story window. I've got some shit to tell you. Come upstairs. Then before you can get all the way upstairs, the person you were talking with dies. But of course, you had to go in front of a camera. So then a person calls you and is like, hey, the police are going to get the footage of you going in front of the camera. And I don't think you killed said person, but the police are kind of lazy. So you're going to want to wipe these drives. They're also in like four separate locations. Good luck.
I've really found a lot of like enjoyment that I wasn't expecting from the story. And the twist that you like, the potential twist that you're talking about, I think the story kind of goes dark, right?
Real fast. Like,
yeah, real fast.
Wait, so does old girl commit suicide every time?
I imagine so.
Okay. Because I'm just like, oh, it was like juking the chief of police when he was like, oh, yeah, I don't think the person was smart enough to know that these old models of cameras have things in them. I'm like, oh, wow. So I should go erase those. Yeah. I mean, I should go collect those for you. Yeah.
Well, the best part I got from the conversations with the police chief is that you can try and be sly about your about like your involvement, or you can just blatantly tell them exactly what you've been doing.
Pretty much.
There's a lot of like comedy gold in there. And the game like basically allows you to be as serious or as sarcastic as you want to be. And I really do find a lot of pleasure and like a lot of respect for that game just out of how it allows you to enjoy it whatever way you want. And at the same time, it kind of makes me feel bummed out that Tom Francis' second game, Heat Point, I think is what it's called.
Oh yeah, that was the second one. Too bad it's not free.
And too bad that like while the game itself is really fun in like a similar way to Gunpoint, how you can take multiple approaches, it doesn't necessarily have the same narrative that Gunpoint has. Like Gunpoint is not obtrusive or really all that strong on the narrative. It's not like a narratively driven game, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But what is there is so full and rich that you can't help but think back and remember it fondly. Whereas Heat Point doesn't have much of a narrative at all. It's one that like you basically tell the story and live it out. Like the story happens more in headcanon than it does in the actual game.
Which is sad. It's called Heat Signature, actually.
Heat Signature. Thank you. Yeah.
No problem.
Gunpoint, Heat Signature.
And Morph Blade.
I would like to go back to Heat Signature again, though, because I didn't get more than a few hours into it. And really, it was mostly just the lack of narrative that kind of had me drop off from it. But, it was fun. It was very fun.
I'd definitely be willing to give it a little bit of a try if it ever becomes free. I'm not paying for it. I did enjoy Gunpoint, though. I enjoyed that, like, very much, very thoroughly. That it's like just going, being able to go back and figure out, like, different ways to hack. I want to play a gun run through now. Where I've got a gun. No more of this being shot at bullshit. But no, I was playing that last night. And then one other free game that was on the Twitch Prime list that caught my eye is called Guild of Dungeoneering. It is kind of like a throwback to old school D&D. It's got a bunch of scribbles. The entire background is always graph paper. And instead of being, you are the guild master of a destitute guild. And basically what you're doing is you're trying to build up your guild by sending guild members on dungeon runs to solve, like, to do quests. But instead of you controlling the character, you're quite literally placing down parts of the dungeon and trying to entice your character to go in the direction you want them to go in. But ultimately, they'll go whichever fucking way they feel like it. And then it's a card battling system where you draw a hand of 3 to 4 cards, depending on what you have. The monster plays a card, you play a card. There's magic, physical attacks, blocking, just a bunch of different things. I'm really enjoying it so far. Lots and lots of death. My graveyard is very full already, and I've only been playing it for about three hours or so.
Yeah, it looks interesting. It's kind of weird that all of your guild members are egg-shaped, baby-faced, kind of soulless creatures.
Eggs, yeah. I like it. It's
sort of... They sort of look like characters you could make in Snipper Clips.
Yeah. Or, you know, just quickly sketch out on a piece of graph paper.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's got a very, it's a very cute art style, and the soundtrack of it, just like when you first load into the first loading screen, is kind of beautiful. There's something majestic about just this random dude singing on a guitar and just like kind of reading out the words that are happening. Like, as you get your first person who's called like the fool or something, he's like, and that person is the fool. It's weird. I can't describe it. Either way, it's nice. I like it.
Like, as a reference to tarot, is that why the fool is being used?
No. Just as in a reference to that character's class, because like one of the guys is a there's a cat burglar who's all his and or her attacks, because every time you die you've got like a help wanted ad out basically, so every time you die the time after that you get that class back in a new person, but all of their classes are like kind of sneaky ish sounding, but all of what they do, but their moves are very much throw a cat. Or one of their moves is called catnip, so you actually get to hold +1 attack for your next time that you do a physical attack. Just a lot of random stuff. I like it. It's very different and unique, and also free on Twitch. Twitch Prime, which is the only reason I have it.
So some of the humor is similar to like West of Loathing.
Yeah, I'd give it a similar overall vibe of West of Loathing. Maybe, as someone who never played West of Loathing, but has seen a couple of YouTube videos. At least the art style is similar.
Yeah, minimalistic.
Besides that, man, that's all I've been playing.
Well, let's talk about that potential mistake that you're trying to talk yourself into, was it?
Yeah, trying to talk myself into it. So you may or may not have heard that Microsoft is planning on possibly doing a very interesting thing where you can pay either, oh gosh, I think it was like $25 a month or $35 a month for 2 years. And that gets you an Xbox One or Xbox One X, depending on the 25 or 35. And get you the Xbox, get you the 2 years of Gold, and the 2 years of Gamers Club. All of the like podcasts and Reddit and everything, they've all done the math. It pretty much just saves you $20 in the long run. They haven't announced it officially yet, but what everyone's basically saying is, hey, once they do announce it, that's also going to be like, oh yeah, this is when they're also going to announce the next console that they're going to be releasing, because it'd be kind of stupid for them to lock everyone into a 2-year contract and then 1 year into it, release a completely new set of hardware for the quote-unquote next generation. So I'm kind of trying to possibly talking myself into spending $35 a month and just getting an Xbox One X.
That's... Do you really think a new console is going to come out in 2 years?
Well, if maybe nothing else like announced within the 2-year time cycle of this Because so they're only doing it for a limited time. Whenever they do announce this plan, it's only going to be like, oh yeah, you can do this, lock yourself into this 2-year contract until this date. So you got to know if they're doing it for a limited time, they don't want to like divide their community if they end up like releasing something or announcing something.
Right.
And it's like, oh yeah, you're also stuck with last year's hardware or last season's hardware now.
Do you know what this program is being called? Because, yeah, you're right. Like, I haven't been keeping up with gaming news all that much with the increased workload. So I'm super curious to read more about this.
It is Project Largo, L-A-R-G-O.
Huh. This seems like an interesting idea. It's just that, I mean, assuming it's exactly as you described it, it seems like an enticing way to get people onto your platform that don't necessarily have the ability to shell out $300 or $400 immediately. I just wonder, well, I first wonder, like, I still need to see Xbox exclusive games that are not also exclusive to Windows.
Makes sense. Since you've got the PC and everything with it. The reason I would want to go with it is because I am more than likely to pack an Xbox One X and a PlayStation 4 Pro to go traveling than a fucking desktop.
Yeah, and laptops, unless you're spending real good money, generally can't get the same performance that even a console can get.
It's 22 and 35.
So it hasn't been like officially confirmed, but this is what people have been saying across.
The industry for the past like 2 weeks have been, and it's like the more time that passes for it, the more like detailed the leaks are going to be. So changing the cost of the entry for the Xbox from $229 to $500 upfront to $22 and $35 a month puts it in the same entertainment tier as subscribing to cable or TV. And I was hoping that they'd actually have the math here. They don't for this article on geekwire.com. But no, I like this idea. See, I'm one of the few people that are pissed about the whole, hey, I can't just sign a contract with Sprint for 2 years and pay $200 and get the newest phone rather than having, you know, buy it outright. Because when you think about it, who switches carriers that often?
I think there is a level of desire to have freedom in cell service in particular, because you never know if you're going to move and be in a shitty spot of town for that provider. But for a console, like, that's a completely different thing.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I could see that with the whole, oh yeah, you just happened to move in a year after you spent money on Sprint. Now you live in fucking Athens, Georgia. Athens does not have good Sprint service, unfortunately. But I can honestly say, I've been with Sprint way too long to just kind of like randomly switch over unless something drastic happens.
Right.
So I was always one of those people that actually, and I tend to not buy phones every year or every 2 years. I would actually just sit with the old phone for a good year and a half more before I'd actually go ahead and get the upgrade. So I was one of the few people who would benefit from, oh yeah, I only have to pay $200 and I get a new phone. Fuck it. I'll do that rather than, no, I've got this phone in my pocket that I paid $800, $900 for, and you know what? I don't mind paying $35 a month for 2 years and get a console, and then with the Xbox All Access Xbox All Access or whatever they're calling to get all the exclusives for free, and Game Pass and Gold. I'll take that for $35 a month. Because let's see, Game Pass comes with The Division, Rocket League, Hitman. Oh, Vermintide 2. Nice. Injustice, Fallout 4, Sea of Thieves, which would be like one of the only games I'd play beside Vermintide. Halo 5, which I don't care about.
Is it meant to be seen as like a lease or like a plan or paid, like a I don't know. Like, are they expecting people to use Project Largo or whatever this plan would be for that full duration to own? Like, is it a rent to own sort of situation? Or are they expecting people to cancel partway through and then they just send the Xbox back? How would that work?
I would assume it's going to be more of a rent to own type thing, since it's a pretty much no interest, words I'm looking for, no interest, interest free rental of your Xbox One X until 2 years pass and you buy it. Because if you're saving $20, why not just do it?
So how do they handle someone that starts the plan and stops paying halfway through? Do they just send it to collections then?
Shit. I would imagine so.
It just seems like there's a lot of crap that could happen that I feel like it would be a logistical nightmare to provide this service if you were Xbox or Microsoft, more specifically. Or like, do they have some way to basically brick the system, or like prevent you from playing offline even if you stop paying, which that's like scary in and of itself too.
Well, I would assume that they would theoretically brick the system by getting rid of anything attached to your IPs, like, hey, you've got Xbox Live under this. No, I would just assume they would take it to collections. Would be like the easiest way to do it. I didn't even think about that.
Right? Seems like a giant pain in the ass. Well, that'll be something we can look into more and more as maybe an official announcement comes out. We can talk to it like on a greater deal.
Yeah.
But aside from that, anything newsworthy that you that has occurred that you're interested in talking about?
Besides that, was there something? No. Besides your graphics card is trash, and we've got a full new way of measuring how good performance goes through rays and ray casting, and how the new RTX 1080 Ti to a 2080 Ti has over a million rays.
I'm sure the next Xbox will fully utilize such verbiage and terminology in the marketing as well. Teraflops worked pretty well, but now we're going to have rays. When you first said rays, I thought you meant your sister-in-law had a card already or something. I was like, what? I didn't think she was a PC gamer. I thought she was on Mac.
She is, unfortunately, on Mac, but also on Switch, you know. There's some good in that. But nah, man. It's all about them rays now. Because screw teraflops.
Teraflops were a flop.
Higgs, yeah. It's all about the ray casting. A lot of people are actually like doing digging in things. And they're like, oh. They didn't actually mention any kind of like metrics that we measure things in. So a lot of the rumor mills around the RTX things are it's not going to be overhaul and like FPS. Yeah, FPS. I was thinking like FPS. First person shooter? No, frames per second. It's not going to be like an overhaul in FPS. It's just going to be like everything's going to be prettier and hopefully run the same as they are now, if not a little bit worse. Yeah, besides that and Puddlegate, nothing really interesting has been going on lately.
Puddlegate, oh my god.
Hey, Xana, have you heard of Puddlegate?
Yeah, I have. The whole, like, Spider-Man doesn't have as much puddles in the real version now. It's like...
Yikes, yeah.
I mean, when I saw the two screenshots, the first thing that came to mind for me was, how are there so many puddles? Did it rain inside of the building somehow? Like, I've realized before buildings are finished, they're often vulnerable to the elements, but that looked a bit excessive.
Hags, nah, man. It's the puddles are significantly smaller. They're significantly less of them. Man, we just got so few puddles now. I'm excited for this game. I think I might end up getting the game, but I'm not going to be talking about it next week because I'm not going to be here next week. Unfortunately, I'm going out of town.
My condolences.
And I'll be on the road.
You think I'm joking, but I actually really don't like traveling that much. So,
are you sure?
If you said I had a free week to do whatever the fuck I could, if it's not going to Japan, I would much rather just stay in my house, stay in my basement, and play video games.
And look at all the pretty puddles.
Yep. My closing note is not very game related, but it's more esports or competitive gaming related. If any of you listeners have any sort of inkling to watch something like competitive League of Legends or a MOBA or anything like that, there were two like pretty fantastic... Oh, okay. There was one fantastic series that went on this weekend between Cloud9 and TSM in the North American LCS semifinals. The two most storied teams, I guess you could say, in North America. I won't give spoilers in case anyone cares about those things, but it was a fantastic series to watch. Like, literally,
I don't know, man. It was a 3-1.
No, it was 3-2. I almost gave
things
away.
Sorry, I was looking at Liquid and Liquid versus 100 Thieves.
If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can write into podcast@fancyramen.com.
Don't be afraid to leave a like and a review on the Apple Podcast. And most importantly, don't hesitate to tell a friend that, hey, our podcasts are kind of getting shorter and they're a little more organized. And every once in a while, we actually have three co-hosts. Every once in a while.
Well, have a good week, everybody.
Bye.